Good evening and welcome to another episode of CFAL Talks. My name is Angelo Butler, Manager of Corporate Advisory Services, and in studio today with me, doing a bit of a twist, we have Mr. Seth Roberts, who is an intern who's been working with us for the past few weeks. And today we're going to sit down and discuss his journey into the world of finance and valuable experience that he would have gained during his time at CFAL. We'll look at what sparked his interest in the financial services industry, lesson learned through real-world projects, and explore how the internship has shaped his professional development and career aspirations. Whether you're a student considering a career in finance or a recent graduate looking for opportunities, this conversation offers practical insights and first-hand perspectives on a career in financial services from an intern's perspective. Joining me in studio today is Seth Roberts. Welcome, Seth.
Hi. Hi, Angelo. It's nice to be here.
Good. So let's get right into it. I think it would be prudent. CFAL periodically offers internships to individuals in the summer, or if we have specific projects that we need assistance with. And from time to time, we get a lot of college students that come into the company and, they assist us with projects, but they also get to learn what goes on in the financial services industry and specifically what CFAL does. So I think we should start by you giving the audience an introduction to yourself, who you are, where you're from, what you do, all of that good stuff.
Okay. Well, my name is Seth Roberts. I'm a 20-year-old university student. I study economics at Acadia University in Nova Scotia, Canada.
And why did you choose... what got you into studying economics and particularly choosing Acadia? You could go anywhere in the world nowadays at school. So why did you choose Canada and the route that you took?
I chose economics partially because of my mom. She went to school for economics in Ontario, University of Western Ontario. I really like how economics, it's a study of how can you quench unlimited wants with limited resources, right? So it's more of a social science, and I guess that's what got me into it. Like, why do people do things that they do with the resources that they have? That's why I found it so interesting. And I wanted to go to Acadia because it's almost like the default Bahamian school if you go there. A lot of Canadian universities, they go to high schools and they kind of try to sell it. When Acadia came to my school, they were given the whole pitch and the whole shebang. And then they said Walmart was like 5 minutes away. So I was like, okay, yeah, that's all you have to say.
So in true Bahamian fashion, Walmart was the deciding factor.
Of course.
For you. I guess too, how has the whole overall college experience been? I know it's extremely cold up there, so how do you manage that? But what's the environment like for a college student at Acadia today?
I'd say for a college student now, I'd say Acadia is an amazing school. The amount of Bahamians that are there or just the sheer amount of international students, you'll always be able to find your place. There's the Black Student Association, the Caribbean Student Association that you are welcome to join. They have little events and little parties that you're allowed to attend. Particularly, I'd say a lot of, like, the vast majority of economics majors at Acadia are Bahamians, like, from what I've seen so far. And it's a very small department. The teachers are amazing. Some of my favorite teachers, Barry Watson, Justin Borden, some of the best professors I think I've ever had. But the campus is very nice and small. The only thing they don't tell you is that it's on a hill. So all the dorms are at the very top of the hill and all the classes are at the bottom. So that wasn't in the brochure, but that's small things. It's closer to the water than a more landlocked school. So it doesn't get as cold as somewhere in like Ontario or like Alberta. So weather-wise, it's still freezing, especially when you're not used to it. I got pretty sick during my first winter semester. But once you learn how to like layer your clothes and like, oh, you have to be able to take this off when you go in the building because they have heaters on, eventually you get used to it. And you got to drink your tea, your ginger tea, hibiscus, all that. Stay alive.
All right, sounds good. You know, when I went to college, I studied finance, right? You know, economics. To me, I always said, and I think most persons that study economics, if you want to truly be an economist, you have to, in a lot of ways, work for the government or specific entities, right? And so, you know, for me, I did finance because I said I didn't want to be an economist, right? So in studying economics, what attracted you to intern, say, at a CFAL or, you know, any other internships you may have done this summer?
I'd say, well, my mom for sure, Patty Roberts. She went to school for economics and then she went and she did her CFA. So when I was trying to figure out what I was going to do, I was like, oh, well, you know, mommy did it. So I'll do the same thing. And in regards to CFAL, it's a very well-regarded financial institution. So I thought that if I want to actually learn more about, well, the financial industry and what it might mean to be a CFA, this is the place that I'd have to work at. Because other, I guess, more economic center places just wouldn't really give you that.
Yeah. And before you came in, what did you think CFAL did versus now that you've been here? How does it compare to what you've actually seen and learned from it? You know, people see CFAL and they just think money. Right? Simply put, it's a place of money, right? Money, you put money there, you do this. But what were your thoughts coming in versus what you now get from what you've seen?
My thoughts coming in is I thought it would be a pretty standard internship. You just do, you know, a little bit of grunt work. You do a little thing in Excel, maybe a little project here or there. And that's how I thought it was going to be. But when I came here, it was, I feel like I learned a lot in regards to finance or how financial industry how financial company actually works when it comes to how you analyze a portfolio, how you build one, the way that you guys use the information that you get on Bloomberg or on the news. I find it very impressive. So I guess coming like from outside, I had a very like broad idea, like, oh yeah, you just put money in there and then eventually they'll give you a couple extra dollars. But now you actually get to see the nitty gritty behind the scenes of what actually goes into what it means to invest.
Yeah. And I guess, you know, from everything you've seen and done during this time, what would you say would be your favorite experience during the entire process? And, you know, how did that shape your understanding of, you know, financial services or, you know, the wider industry?
I'd say my favorite experience would have to be the article writing. I really enjoyed that in The Guardian. I actually didn't know that CFAL they have like a specific article.
Column.
Yeah, they have a column in The Guardian and they get to write their little excerpts. And I didn't know it existed. So when I was given like a task, like, oh, we want you to write something for this and then we'll edit it, see how it goes. I was really excited because the first topic I got was like basically like simpler investing or investing like 101. And how would you like bring this idea across? And I've taken a few finance classes, you know, you go online, you do your research, and then you talk to people in the department. And then I was able to put something together. And when it was public, like that was like out of all the internships that I've worked, that's probably the happiest. I was like, wow, I really did something. Like this is a real thing that actually helps people, because someone might read that and say, wow, I really do need to start investing, or I should go to CFAL and have my money actually work for me. So I like to think that it actually did make a difference, or it did make a change. And it's just really nice seeing the work that you've done, I guess, exist. Like, it's really nice to like hold it with your hands and say, wow, I did that, you know?
Yeah. And I think that's part of why we, you know, accommodate internships and facilitate them, because we do think it's important to assist the next generation with, you know, understanding what the real world is like, right? Mm-hmm. You go to college and you learn certain things in a textbook, and you come to the real world and find out, yes, you need that background information, but you also have to learn how to apply it to specific cases. And, you know, in a lot of ways in the Bahamas, we always hear the complaint that the workforce is unskilled, or, you know, employers say they have to do so much training when they bring individuals on. And, you know, I think we need more and more internships and apprenticeships where persons can actually see some of this. So now that, you know, when you go back to school, you probably see something that you're studying, you'd be like, oh, I saw that at CFAL.
I completely agree. Because I feel like university or the college experience from actually working has been incredibly disconnected. If you're going to school and you're not doing any sort of internships or working while you're actually in university, being pushed into the workforce right out of that is like a shock. It's like getting hit with cold water because you might not know how to act in this professional setting. You might not be used to using things like Teams or Microsoft Outlook or Excel or how to use proper shortcuts or what a pivot table is. And all these things are really, really important for actually going to the workforce because you can learn something in the classroom. I'm pretty sure we've all been there. The teacher says something, you think to yourself, I am never going to need this like in my life. But when you actually work somewhere and you say, oh, so this is what they do when they're analyzing a portfolio. And then you do when you take your first finance class and then they say, I did that at work. That's actually something important. Like that's really interesting because you know that in the real world, when you get out of school, you're actually going to use it. So,
yeah. And, you know, for me, for example, when I did college, I actually worked through the entirety of college, right? So, of course, it was stressful, but I think it prepared me a lot. You know, when I see persons that, you know, go through college and it's fine, if you don't need to work, you don't have to work, right? But I think it's a dangerous thing to go through an entire 4 years of college and never have experienced some sort of real world example of what you would be doing in your career. And so we always encourage persons, you know, first, second year, yeah, you having fun, you want to party, you want to relax, you want to chill. You just came out of 12 years of high school and primary school. But by your third, fourth year, you need to start getting some experience. And two, it's important to understand whether you actually like what you're studying. Right? Because
that's true.
You have some professions where a person study it and then when they realize what the actual work entails, they're like, okay, I don't even want to do this.
Yeah, they're miserable.
Right? And now you already spend $50,000-$60,000 on college and, you know, you kind of feel stuck. So again, we always encourage persons to try and get some exposure. And we also encourage industry professionals and leaders of companies that are listening to, you know, as much as possible, provide opportunity for younger persons to, you know, have the opportunity to experience what happens in the actual real world. And I think it'll make the country better and make everyone better for it.
I think it should also be known that some places, they do offer internships, but they don't make it, I think they don't make it as known as they should. Posts on LinkedIn or Instagram or even sending those WhatsApp forwarded many times into a bunch of different group chats so that the word actually gets across because you guys might be hiring, but if no one actually knows what's going on, then no one's actually able to join. And I'd also like to say for all the other university students or college students, even if you can't find an internship in the specific field that you're trying to get into, any job is better than no job. Just you got to be doing something. Like even if it's working in a kitchen, I worked at a Vietnamese restaurant for a little bit. I was a dishwasher. And it's like that doesn't directly go to finance, but even these jobs, if they're not directly into the thing that you want, like if you want to be a banker, the people skills that you might learn at that job, you learn more soft skills. So it's still important, even if you aren't doing the very specific thing that you would like to do in like a, I guess, a proper internship, a job is a job. I feel like you just got to do something.
Yeah, and I think that's a good transition. Because want to kind of get you to share, you know, what skills per se I think you garnered from the internship, both technical, like financial related, but like you said, also any soft skills or social skills that you feel this opportunity has provided.
Well, I've worked in offices a good amount of times, but I guess particularly working at CFL, people here are very, very social. They like to talk, they like to eat, they like to always go by someone's desk, be like, how are you doing, so-and-so, and things like that. I'd say what I learned the most at CFL is don't be afraid to ask questions, always walk around, always say something nice, like nothing. Well, I guess don't like rush. Like go to talk to people, say hello, because these are the people that you're going to be working with, and you don't want to be the guy that, oh, I'll only go to work, I will like do this thing, and then I'll just leave, and I won't say anything to anyone. Because then that ostracizes you and then the people around you. You're going to have to be around these people for like 40 hours a week, maybe even longer. So you have to be able to get along with these people. And that's why soft skills are so, so important. Because if you don't know how to socialize properly or what is proper like office etiquette, then it will only make life harder for you in the long run. again, that goes back to why internships are so important, because you actually see that, you actually feel that.
Yeah, and I've worked with many interns over the years. I've, you know, in previously lecturing, I've interacted with a lot of students in many other ways as well. And I will say, you know, Seth is one of the more intriguing in the sense that he will ask questions, he will inquire, he will dig, he will, you know, put himself out there, you know, not being afraid you know, of what may come from it. And then interestingly, you know, we did a site visit for one of the projects that we recently raised funds for, and you know, we kind of just did it on a whim and said, was like, hey, would I be able to attend? And you know, we were like, yeah, like, come on. And I think, you know, you were able to see that as well. So again, it pays to be, of course, you don't want to be overly aggressive, but you do have to show interest and you know, show that, okay, I have a desire to learn. I'm not just here. You know, a lot of persons, they go on these internships and all they want is the $250 or whatever
exactly
the companies may pay them. And then if they don't get any work, they're happy, right? And that seems good, but it doesn't really help you long term. So it's good to push and ask, hey, is there anything else I could help with? Anything more I could take on? And so I'll say that was really commendable in working with you during the internship.
Thank you. Because I feel like you always have to have, I guess, something to do, or at least looking for something to do. It shows interest. It shows that you actually care. It shows interest. It shows that you care. And if you're doing something, and like if you're at a job and you really don't know what's going on, it's better to look dumb for like a little bit and ask the question. Because one, there could be other people that have the exact same question, and you might have been the first person to speak up and bring the thing. And there's nothing wrong with saying that I don't know. There's nothing wrong with saying that. If anything, it's brave, because you're taking it upon yourself to say, I do not know this thing. I would like to know more about it. What more can you tell me? Because that's how you learn. That's how you grow.
Yeah. I guess too, we could shift now to what would you say was, or were there any challenges you faced during the internship? And if there were, how did you overcome them? And what did you learn from that whole experience and process?
Well, I guess the only challenge I'd say that I faced was there wasn't a real like proper seating arrangement or like a desk. So it wasn't really like work or like people related. It was more so getting moved around or being in different departments. Like working under you and you're in the corporate department, and now I'm sitting in the accounting department, which is a little bit away. Now it just means because you feel almost like disconnected. Some people, they don't want to walk over or say hello or do those kinds of things. I feel like I overcame it by just every now and again, just walking over, saying, hi, how everything's going. Here's how I'm doing on this project. Is there anything I can help with? Is there anything I could do? Is there anything I could bring? And things like that, because you can't let there's always going to be some sort of, I guess, issue or some sort of like problem that you're going to face, whether it be in life or in a job or in an internship or anything like that. But you do the best with what you got.
Yeah. And you know, like you said, it's things change. You know, when you came, you were sitting at a specific desk, but plans change. And all of this is part of the real world.
Yeah.
Experience, right? Like things change. And like you said, you have to be able to adapt and figure out, you know, okay, that just means, like you said, you have to walk a bit further, but you know, you don't let it hinder your ability or change your, you know, ability to be efficient in what it is that you are working.
Because there's never going to be a point in time where everything is just the way that it's supposed to be, right? There's never going to be a perfect moment or perfect time for, okay, I'm going to wait until like I'll start doing this. You should start like now, because tomorrow, it's always tomorrow. Tomorrow never actually comes, right? It's always today.
Yeah.
So you just got to do something.
With that said, you know, like I mentioned earlier, you mentioned you're studying economics. I guess, how has this whole internship and process influenced your career goals now? And, you know, where do you see yourself trying to go in from here going forward?
I think it solidified my career choice of wanting to be a CFA, Chartered Financial Analyst, in the future. Yeah, I feel like it's really solidified it, because I've never worked in a specific financial office before. I've worked at other places like insurance companies and banks, but nothing particularly like this. And seeing an insight of what you guys actually do day to day, working under a CFA like yourself, who's done it recently, then I guess it's given more insight of, okay, this is something that I really do want to do, and I'd really appreciate, well, I'd like to do it here. I only got a year left of school, so, you know, just keep me in mind.
Fair enough. And what advice would you give to any students or recent graduates who are considering internships in financial services?
I'd say be as persistent as humanly possible. A lot of the times you won't actually find places online posting the fact that they have internships. I'd say email the people directly. Whether it's someone you might know or someone you don't know, email them anyway with your resume and just a brief introduction of who you are. If you have the means to do so, show up. That's what I did to get this internship. You just show up, you know, give a firm handshake and say like, hi, my name is so-and-so. Here's my resume. I'd like to work here. Because the worst thing that they could say is like, no, right? So the worst thing they're going to say is, no, they're not going to be like, oh, how dare you show up? I'm going to take money from you or something. The worst that's going to happen is they're going to say, oh, no, sorry, we're not doing any internships. And then you go home. Like, you lose nothing. You only have something to gain. So if you can email the people, always ask if they're doing internships. And even if they aren't, sometimes they'll be willing to make exceptions, or if they have big projects, they'll take people on. You really have to be persistent. You really have to be persistent. Go to any place, anywhere, and just ask.
Yeah, wholeheartedly agree with that. And I think that has kind of summed up the entire internship process. So, you know, we could kind of shift before we conclude to, you know, you study economics, you study finance, you've learned what CFAL does, right? And how do you view the Bahamas per se from an economic financial perspective, but compared as well to what you may see in Canada, like as a young person, what do you envision for the country? You know, what would you see as economic success or financial success, or what areas may you want to see the country go in?
Economic success, I would say, it all goes down to education of the people and giving recent graduates the ability to come back home. I have a lot of friends and cousins who are going off to school, and they almost have to stay away because what they're majoring in is so specific that if they come back home, they can't actually get a job with it. And it all goes down to education and there being a reason for people to come back, because everyone that goes away, they'll always say how much they miss home, how much they want to go back, but they know that they're not actually going to make what they would make if they stayed in like Canada or if they stayed in America, things like that. And when it comes to financial success and this economic success, I'd say it all goes back to the people. Even in regards to the article I wrote, well, helped, right? In The Guardian. Financial literacy in the Bahamas is, I don't think it's where it should be. Actually, it's not even just in the Bahamas, just in the world. Making a budget and sticking to it, knowing to invest a certain amount of your income, passive income, things like that. And I feel like things like that should be taught in school. I think it should be taught in primary school. I think it should be taught in high school. I think some of the most important classes anyone should take, I would tell anyone, take a beginner accounting class, beginner finance class, and a beginner economics class. They teach you so many things in regards to how to calculate a mortgage, what compound interest is, what is opportunity cost, how to balance a balance sheet. It's very basic information, but the lessons that they give you, it will transcend your life, and then you can teach that to your own children. I feel like that's something that really should be taught in schools, because I think they're very important skills.
Yeah, we, you know, a big part of this podcast, you know, a lot of times we talk about economic issues, right? Specifically the budget or, you know, any policy announcements that may be made. And a lot of times those are very technical and what's not. But another side of this podcast focuses on financial literacy. And, you know, we're kind of trying as best as possible to spread the information about what CFAL does, not just CFAL, but what investing does for you long term. And, you know, we have a lot of listeners, various ages, various stages of their life. And, you know, sometimes people come in, they're 65, 70, and they're saying, oh, is it too late for me? And, you know, we always say it's never too late, right?
That's true.
The best time to start was yesterday, but the second best time
is today.
Is today. And it's not always just for you. You know, we have seen a lot of persons come in and they invest for their grandkids.
Right? Exactly.
So they may buy shares today that, you know, don't pay for 3-4 years, but they know for the next 20 years it will pay something to their grandchildren. So like you said, we've been trying to do our part in expanding financial knowledge, just making all of this information available. With things like the internet now, it's, you know, a bit easier, but we still have to push and get people to understand. But like you said, it needs to be taught in the school level. So, you know, someone coming out of school at 18, getting a job for the first time, knows what a credit card interest rate is, right?
And exactly. I even think something I would implement is usually they'll have summer readings, what some high schools would implement. I'd make one of the books a more financial book. You can have like Rich Dad Poor Dad by Robert Kiyosaki, The Millionaire Next Door, The Richest Man in Babylon. These books aren't particularly long, but what you learn from them is like very basic. Like, here's what a budget is, sticking to it. Here's what it actually means. I feel like that's something that would be amazing. And what I particularly like about finance is that you are helping people achieve this freedom that they wouldn't otherwise have. They have this they have the option to choose to do something or to give someone an opportunity that they might not have had. Like how you said, the grandparents maybe giving some, well, investing some money on behalf of their grandchildren. Now they might be able to go to university, or the grandparents, they can retire a little bit earlier, or maybe you want a house for the first time and you can use that money that you invested to get a down payment for a mortgage, or you might even be able to buy it in full. But I think that's why it is so important, because it provides people with options, and you just got to plant that seed, you know?
Yeah.
Got to plant that seed. You might not experience the shade that the tree is going to give you yet, but you got to plant the seed for it to grow.
Yeah. With that said, we've come to the end of another episode of CFAL Talks. Want to thank Seth for participating and contributing on this. I know this is probably your first time recording, being on the radio, but you know, we try to provide these opportunities again as exposure. You never know where you'll end up in the world and where you'll be working. But the next time you go on a podcast, you probably would say, you know what, I've done that before. I don't need to be as nervous or overthink it as much. And all of this is part of development and growth. And again, we try as best as possible at CFAL to provide these opportunities each year to interns. And I don't know if you have any closing remarks before we go. Any final words?
Thank you for having me. I really did enjoy my time here at CFAL during my internship. And if you guys are looking for anyone like to help out or anything like that, then you know who I you have my number and everything.
If you enjoyed this episode or you wish for us to discuss anything in the future, please send us a note at info@cfal.com, and we look forward to being back on the radio again next time. Take care.